The reading is Mark 16, verses 1 to 7. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white, in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is, see the place. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you."
Thanks, Pat. And thank you, Pat, as well, for this. Honest flower's lovely. Yes. Filled with colour, which is what we want on Easter Sunday, isn't it? I used to travel quite a lot for work on the train, and on those cold mornings, I would often go and shelter from the cold in the bookshop, usually W.H. Smith's or whatever was at the train station. I never bought a book, but I used to shelter in there. And I was always drawn to the business section, you know, the section of books where it's, here's some things that you can read on your train journey to help you improve at something. And I was often fascinated by the titles of those kind of books, because it was usually things like 5 ways to have a more effective team, or 10 habits that leaders need to be better at what they do, or 3 ways to deliver better presentations, or whatever it may be. And it was usually, there's a 5-step plan, a 10-step plan, these 3 habits, and your life will be changed. And today, we celebrate the 3-step plan to change a life of God. The death, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today we celebrate step 3. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not die, but will have eternal life. Jesus came into this world because God loves you. And we remember at Christmas time, Jesus coming out of love. And on Good Friday, we see that love demonstrated in the most practical way of all, as Jesus puts his love into practice as he dies upon the cross. And today, as Jesus is raised from the grave, we receive that love as we are welcomed into the courts of God, as we are welcomed into his presence because of the very love that Jesus has for us. You are loved today. You are chosen today. You are welcome today. You are forgiven today. You are accepted today. All because Jesus is no longer dead, but because he is alive. Right at the very beginning of time, when God had created the world, and he created Adam and Eve, and they messed everything up, what came into the world? Sin, sickness, and death. Death was the thing. People could no longer walk before God, but people would die. But today we celebrate that last enemy of humanity, death, has been destroyed. Because if Jesus has been raised from the dead, which I believe he has, then we will be raised from the dead. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that Jesus raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. And that's what we celebrate today. Death is no longer the end, but it is the gateway. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep," that means die, "but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead, so we will be raised, because Jesus was raised from the dead." And all of this is possible because of that first Easter morning. As Pat just read, Mark describes for us the scene on that first Easter day. And I love what it says in verse 2, that it was very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, that Mary and Salome went to the tomb. It was very early in the morning, their first opportunity. After the long agonizing death of Jesus, after the long agonizing wait of the Sabbath on the Saturday when they couldn't go out, they couldn't visit the tomb, they couldn't mourn, they couldn't do the things they wanted to do, very early in the morning, the first opportunity they get, they go to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body, to grieve, to anoint his body. But there's a significance in that they were going to anoint his body with spices. You see, a lot of commentators say that at this point in history, usually the way that Jewish people would anoint their dead would be with oils. But Jesus was going to be anointed with spices. And it was only the kings and the nobility that were anointed with spices. And so after a criminal's death, he was due to be anointed as a king in the way that they were going to use the spices. I think that's a wonderful little thing there. But on the way, they realized there's a problem. There's a stone. Who's going to move the stone? Verse 3 says, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? Sometimes in life, we are full of eagerness. Sometimes in life, we are going through at 100 mile an hour. We're up very early in the morning doing the thing we want to do, filled with passion, filled with love, but we realize there is a stone in the way. Are there stones in your life today? Things that seem impossible, things that seem immovable, things that seem like a barrier, and you just don't know how we're going to get past this situation, how we're going to get over this next hurdle, this impossibility. The women focused on the stone. They saw it as the impossible thing. In all reality, the stone wasn't completely immovable. It wasn't impossible. It could be moved. It just needed a handful of big men to move it. They couldn't do it on their own. And the reality is that some of those stones in our life, the situations that seem daunting or impossible, they're not impossible. They're often sortable, movable, fixable. It might be costly, but it's doable. The women focused on the stone. It's impossible. Who can move this stone? But what they missed was the real impossibility was behind the stone. People can't make people come back to life. We can revive people. We can resuscitate people. We can bring people back when they've flatlined on the table. We can't resurrect people. Not after 3 days. The women focused on the stone. They missed the real impossibility. And when they got there, they realized that God had done the impossible. He'd raised Jesus from the dead. And by the way, he moved the stone as well. You know, we believe in the God of the impossible. We believe in the God of the miracle. One of the other stones, though, is the stone of sin. The stuff that we do in our life that means we can't get to God. And actually, that's the thing that is impossible for us to move. The only way that sin can be moved from our life is through Jesus' death and resurrection, through the belief in him, that as God did the impossible in raising Jesus, so he removes the sin from our lives also. And that shifted stone does remind us of sin, that our lives are filled with sin. And just as Mary and Salome, they couldn't get to Jesus because of the stone, so we can't get to God because of the stone of sin. It's only through belief in Jesus, putting your trust and hope in him, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And so God moved the stone. God moved the stone so that we can get to Jesus. It's God's three-point rescue plan. Here's another way we can look at that three-point rescue plan. Join me, if you will, in Philippians chapter 2. You might want to keep a thumb in this page because we've got to come back here. This passage we know so well. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. This is from verse 6. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the three-step rescue plan for how to change your life. Number one, incarnation, verse 7. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. The first stage in God's three-step rescue plan for us was that God became human, that he came to this very earth. He didn't just reach out and dip into humanity and dip out again. He came into humanity. He takes on human form, the whole of the Godhead in human form. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, just a couple of pages on, says this: "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." The whole of God becomes human. The first step of God's rescue plan, that he becomes incarnate in flesh. God became flesh. He didn't reach in from afar. He became one of us. Step two of God's three-point rescue plan is death. Verse 8, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death upon a cross." On Good Friday, we explore the question, why did Jesus have to die? And for the Jews, Jesus had to die because they said he was a blasphemer. He claimed to be equal with God. Well, that verse in Colossians that we just read showed us that Jesus is God. So he is equal with God because he is God. Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. But for the Jews, they wanted him to die. For the Romans, they were the ones that carried out the crucifixion. Why did the Romans want him dead? Because he was a revolutionary. He was talking about a new kingdom, and he was the king of that kingdom, and the Romans didn't like that. But of course, Jesus is the king of his kingdom. And at the moment when Jesus was resurrected, his new kingdom begins, and he is the king of his kingdom. But in theological terms, it's both of those things and more. Jesus is God. He is the Messiah. He is a revolutionary. He is the king of his kingdom. But he also is the Messiah who paid the price for you and I so that we will not die, but that we will live. Let's turn back to Colossians again. Colossians chapter 1. From verse 21, says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you." Reconciled means to be brought back together again. "He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." That's accusation from God. Because one day every person will stand before God. But because of Jesus, we have been brought near to God again because of his death upon the cross. We are counted holy. We are counted free of any blemish and free of accusation because of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 9 from verse 26. It says, "Otherwise Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." Number two in God's three-point rescue plan is death. It's through Jesus' death that we are forgiven and free. And step three is resurrection. Resurrection. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name." It's because of the death and resurrection of Jesus that we have life. Because Jesus was raised, after we die, we will be raised because Jesus was raised. If we don't believe Jesus was really raised from the dead, there's no hope for us in the future. The Bible says if we don't believe Jesus was resurrected, then we're more to be pitied than anybody else. but Jesus was raised from the dead. And because Jesus is alive, we can be alive. Let's look in Colossians again. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, he being Jesus. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." Because Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, we will be raised from the dead. We have a new way to God. We have a new life. We have eternal life because Jesus died and rose again. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 24 says, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Again, asleep meaning died, not those of you who are drifting right now in my sermon. "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die," that was because of sin, "so in Christ all will be made alive." Isn't that wonderful? But you see, we mustn't slip into thinking that Jesus' death and resurrection is simply so that our sin is scrubbed away. It's not just so that the crime is dealt with. It's so that the criminal can be transformed as well. It's not just so that sin is dealt with. It's so that the sinner can be transformed. You see, when we believe in Jesus, it's not just that our sins are wiped away. It's that we are remade, renewed. We have new life here in this life and a life after the grave. At the cross, sin is dealt with, but God makes a new covenant, a new agreement that through Jesus, he will be with us and that we have eternity with him. And also in Jesus' resurrection, he started his new kingdom that is here upon the earth now, his kingdom that's here, which means we can be transformed, which means we can pray and see people healed. It means that we can see lives transformed because God's kingdom is coming here on the earth as well. And guess what? You're an ambassador of the kingdom. Just like if the queen visits and in the months beforehand, her people come and they paint everywhere and they make everywhere look nice. Guess what? Your job is to make the world nice, not by painting it, but by transforming lives, by transforming this world before the king comes again, when we will be with him forever. A challenge for us though. I wonder if we ever stand at that tomb and we celebrate that the stone has been removed, that we rejoice. Jesus is alive. Sin is forgiven. And then we plop the stone back. And we find ourselves in a place of feeling guilty because of all the stuff that we've done wrong. Do we ask ourselves the question, would God really love me? And it's like we've put the stone back. Jesus has done all this stuff for us, his life, death, and resurrection. But then we wallow in self-pity. Or maybe we put the stone back because what we do is we see other people and we judge other people and we say, I mean, look at their attitude. They're supposed to be a Christian. They're doing that thing. Their lifestyle's this. Are they really welcome in our church? And what we do is we put the stone back on the tomb again. Or maybe we put the stone back on the tomb because we forget that God transforms lives. Or maybe we put the stone back on the tomb and we celebrate and we rejoice that Jesus is alive, but we don't have other people coming in and spoiling our party. And we put the stone back, but the stone was removed so that the risen Jesus can go out into all the world because all people can be saved. God is no longer confined to his chosen people, but for all people because of Jesus. He is alive and he is making all things new. Because of our support of the vaccine clinic over the last couple of years, we were bought a gift as a church by the GP practices locally, and it's this. It's actually quite heavy. It's a defibrillator. Something that can restart hearts. Something that can bring back to life in the moments when someone's heart has stopped and their life has slipped from them. But guess what? It's empty. Why is it empty? You see, they were buying us this defib and they realized that we've already got a defib in our building. It's just by the office there. And so they said, because of the funding and the charity and all that kind of stuff, we can't buy you a second defib because you've already got one. But the guy rang me up and he said, so he was a bit embarrassed. And he said, I hope you don't mind. We're kind of going back on our word slightly. We can't buy you a defib. But what we can do is we can buy you the box for the defib to put it outside. And he said to me, would you mind putting your defibrillator that restarts hearts and lives, would you mind taking it outside of your church building and putting it in a place that's accessible to everybody else? And I said, of course. Because we must remember at Easter that the stone has been removed. That we have something that can bring new life. The message of Jesus that can transform hearts and lives. But you know what? It's pointless if it's locked in the church building. It's time to get the message of Jesus out. And that's what the angels say to the women at the end of this little passage that Pat read for us in verse 7. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. They were told to go and tell the message. And the message is the same for you and I. There's no point having the message of Jesus comfortably in the building, but when the building's locked, it's not accessible to the world around us. No, the message of Jesus' resurrection is for all people. And so we must get the message of Jesus outside of our building, because it's pointless having something locked in a building that can restart life. It needs to be out there. And so the challenge for us this Easter is that we have something that can bring life. The message of Jesus Christ. We mustn't keep it locked in the building, but we must have it in a place where our community, our neighbours, and our families can see and hear and know that Jesus is not dead, he is alive. And because of God's three-step rescue plan, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, there is new life for them. They can be made whole. They can be given new life and eternal life because of Jesus who died and rose again. Amen. Amen. Amen.